Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
All right, welcome everybody back to another episode of the Introspective Podcast. And I've got a very special surprise today, especially for my married entrepreneurs. We haven't really gone into marriage on this show. And I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, I need to bring this into the conversation here because marriage and entrepreneurship, it's like marriage and entrepreneurship, there's a lot of parallels to it. And I think it's something that we really need to dive into. And I know a lot of my listeners are married, they have young families, and it's certainly a challenge. So I had reached out to Monica Tanner, and that is who I'm joined with today, my special guest, Monica Tanner. And she is a wife to a hunky man, a boss mom to four small humans. She's also a weekly podcaster at On the Brighter Side of Marriage and a relationship and intimacy sexpert. Monica firmly believes that there are no two people on planet Earth who love each other more than she and her husband, and would love to help you believe that about your own marriage as well. She also believes that as a passionate female entrepreneurs, we can have it all, a strong marriage, a supportive family, and a successful business without any guilt or having to give up anything that is important to you. She helps women create a marriage that supports their business and a business that supports their marriage, which I absolutely love. And that's what we're really going to dive in today's episode. So I welcome to the show, Monica Tanner. Monica, how are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing so great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure and an honor. And, you know, we were talking before the show, just the importance of marriage. And I remember one of the things that really, have you ever just followed somebody online and like they said something that just really like sucked you in and kind of like almost put you in your place for a minute to maybe think and shift some perspective about things? And well, that's what happened with me when I was following your content. I saw that interview you had with Klaus von Osterhout. I always mess his name up. I think it's Osterhout. And you were talking about that number one productivity tip, which is, you know, the most focusing on the most important, you know, relationship in your business. So I want to kick off with just talking about that relationship of marriage as an entrepreneur, because I think it's very unique than just your typical marriage, your traditional marriage where they got the 9-to-5 jobs or working, they come home. But when you throw that entrepreneurship factor into the mix there, like what's different about that? And what's some of the things that you see to be the challenges and what do you see to work on with that particular situation?
Yeah, what a great, great question. Let me give you just a little bit of backstory to kind of set this up a little bit. So I've been married to my husband for about 20 years. And we, right when we got married, we decided to start a family as well as a business. And so we worked together to start our residential and commercial pest control business together. And we grew that business to be very, very, very successful. And we worked very closely together. He did all the servicing and things like that. And I worked in the office and did all the behind the scenes payroll and accounting and things like that, until I had three kids. And after I had my third baby, I basically gave an ultimatum. I said, either hire someone to replace me in the business or put me in the funny farm, because it was so much for me to handle our kids, our household, and my responsibilities in the business. So right. At that point, I did kind of the stay-at-home mom thing for a few years, and I absolutely loved that. Don't get me wrong, but it was literally the hardest job I've ever had, was to just stay home with the kids. So through that experience, we had another baby, and then I had four babies at home, and I realized I needed a little bit of a creative outlet. So I I created my own business, which was kind of a crafting business, and it turned into a larger seasonal boutique. And it really did allow me that creative outlet to use kind of my business acumen and my creativity to do something that was very fulfilling to me. And I got to bring my kids into the business. They helped a lot. I learned, but through that, I learned so much about juggling two businesses, now four kids, a household, my marriage, and all the things. Eventually, I sold that business, went back to school to become a marriage and family counselor, dropped out of school, and started podcasting and doing this marriage coaching, which I'm doing now. But that is where my love of entrepreneurs and helping entrepreneurs navigate this crazy world of marriage, family life, and entrepreneurship. So when you ask what's different about entrepreneurs and, you know, traditional kind of 9-to-5ers, there's a lot of differences. And, you know, when you get married, we obviously marry somebody very different from ourselves, gender-wise, like personality-wise. Typically, they say that opposites attract. But when you have an entrepreneur in the relationship, then you get even more of this diversified. A lot of times you have an entrepreneur who is a dreamer. They're after success. They are a doer. They have all of these characteristics of entrepreneurship, and typically they end up attracting someone who is a little bit on the other side of the spectrum. They tend to be a little bit more patient. They tend to be a little more like content and just, you know, it's really a balancing type attraction, I think, that happens with people most of the time. And what that does is it creates a lot of just learning in the relationship, learning about going at two different paces, right? One's going really, really fast and wants to accomplish all the things. And the other one's oftentimes a little bit, you know, like a slower pace and not so driven, right? And so entrepreneurs actually have a little bit of a higher divorce rate because there are more things to kind of work out, more differences that you have to realize and recognize and learn to appreciate the differences. And when you don't, if you don't learn to honor and appreciate and celebrate the differences, then you start to have a lot of trouble and a lot of rub. And so that's basically why I exist. And to answer your question, those are some of the differences. It's just those kind of personality, a little bit of, kind of pace wise, and just the different ideals of an entrepreneur versus a non-entrepreneur. But then if you have two entrepreneurs, then a lot of times you have, you know, two different, very driven people. And so if you don't manage that and make sure that you're heading in the same direction, then you have a lot of rub there too. So that's how entrepreneurship brings a new dimension into the marriage relationship.
Yeah. And first off, you pretty much exactly described my marriage. like seriously, like as here it is again, she's in my head. Like she knows like what's going on. Like, and it really is. I mean, I'm like in my marriage, I am that entrepreneur. I'm the one that wants to move fast. I've got these high, you know, big aspiring goals. And then my wife is very much so more calm, more slow. Like she's just completely different in terms of, you know, where her aspirations are for things in life. You know, she's very into, and I don't want to say this like that I'm not, but like, she's more like into the kids, like making sure the kids have what they need. And I'm over here like being, you know, Mad Max, just like going crazy on my business. And it does, you know, I think there's a challenge of finding understanding, you know, between the two people, because, you know, on one hand, it's you've got the commonality between the two of you that brought you together, and that's why you love each other. But then on the other hand, you've got two different people, you know, like you had said, and one person's really driven into this vision of what they want to do in their business, where the other person just doesn't have that. And it's like how you reconcile that can be a challenge. But one of the questions that I wanted to ask you specifically, because I find this to be really interesting, is that you ended with talking about both married, both people who are married, they're both entrepreneurs, right? And you and your husband started a business together. Like, tell me about that experience, because sometimes like how did that ever test the marriage at all? Like, how did that impact, like, being in business together as business partners and married? Like, that to me sounds like that's pretty, I don't want to say ambitious, but like, I don't know what the word is, but it's really interesting to me, because I feel like there's two very different relationships happening. One's a business, one's a marriage. And like, how did that all work out for you?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you definitely learn a lot about your differences really, really, really quick. I mean, I could not possibly be more type A, like organized, like want to know exactly what's going on, where everything is. And he couldn't possibly be more the other way, where he just, you know, like writing things on post-it notes all over the place, like go with the flow, like totally just, yeah. He knows where things are and that's all that really matters. Right. And so you definitely learn to understand each other's differences. And what you quickly figure out is that you have different strengths and different weaknesses. And to apply to your marriage as well, I do believe that we were attracted to each other for a reason. All of us, any of us, if you're married, I believe that there is a reason why you were attracted to each other. And it is the other person and coming to understand the other person that will truly make your life meaningful, meaning you will develop into the best version of yourself and they will develop into the best version of themselves when you start to really understand each other and your gifts and your talents and your strengths and your weaknesses and how they form this perfect team together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to get a real crash course in learning how to do things differently, go into business together. And also our businesses now are very, very different from each other. I mean, the way he runs his business is so complete opposite from the way that I run my business. And that brings up an interesting point that I like to talk about is a lot of people, when they think about the support that they're getting from their spouse in either their business or in the managing the household and the kids or whatever it is that they're doing, a lot of times it's very easy to misinterpret a lack of passion about your passion to a lack of support. And so the way I talk to my clients and my students about this is don't misinterpret his lack of passion for your passion for a lack of passion for you. So just because your things aren't his things, it doesn't mean that you are not his thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So my business is all around online marketing and intimacy. And my husband does not get into either one of those things. And his passion is all around coaching and football and basketball and like all of these different things, right? I don't necessarily get into those things, but I love watching him do what he is so passionate about. And the same goes for me. He does not get into online marketing or intimacy, but he loves watching the things that I do and watching me get super excited and passionate about. And that's what creates the passion in our marriage. Not that we like the same things or we do the same things or we get excited about the same things. It's that we support each other in the things that we truly get excited about.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about times where I have been with my wife and cause I'm like this really, really passionate person about, you know, my business and my, you know, what I'm doing in business. And even my wife has said to me, cause she sees how passionate I am and she hasn't found that for herself. Right. And she's like exploring it, hasn't found that for herself. But I will say like, there have been times where I have come to her and talked about something going on in my business that I'm really, really excited about. And then like, what, you know, what do people typically do when they say something to somebody or say something that they're really excited about to somebody else is that they look for that equally exciting reaction to it. It's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? That's amazing. And there have been times where I've done that and I didn't get that reaction. And it made me feel as if like she wasn't supporting my passion. And that's exactly how I reacted. It's like, gosh, does she even care like about this? Like, I feel like she doesn't care. And then later it turned into conversations where she's like, you know, cause I've brought it up. It's like, sometimes I just don't feel like you're as into like what I'm doing. And she's like, it's not that. She's like, honestly, I just don't really understand it. Yeah, yeah. So I don't really understand what you do. She's like, sometimes people ask me what you do and I don't even really know how to explain it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's two things about that. One, it's really important to have a support system for what you do, right? Entrepreneurship, people say, oh, it's lonely, it's hard, right? Like nobody, like you don't really understand entrepreneurship unless you're like in the trenches there doing that, right? And so it's really important to have your set of peers, of mentors, of people that get excited about the things that you get excited about. That doesn't have to be your spouse. So make sure that you know who you're talking to when you're talking about certain things. So if you're talking about podcasting and download numbers and like all the different things that maybe you get really, really excited and passionate about, make sure you're talking to like another podcaster who like totally understands that and gets geeks out on the same kind of thing, right? If that's the reaction you want.
Go ahead and finish. Cause I have another follow-up question to this about passion, but no, please go ahead and finish your thought.
But realize when you're talking to your spouse who maybe doesn't geek out about those types of things like you do, they geek out about you and they love you. And so remember that you can still share your, like you definitely want to share your passion and your heart and your excitement, your wins and your losses and things like that with your spouse. But just remember, like she said, maybe they don't understand all of the things that you're talking about, but they understand your feelings and your emotions. So like, I'm really excited about this thing that happened. They get that, right?
Yeah.
But maybe they don't understand like, you know, this many downloads and it translated into this and blah, blah, blah. Like to them, it's blah, 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 blah. But they can tell how excited about the blah, blah, blah that you are. So just remember kind of who you're talking to and what you're talking to them about and understand that they love you and they're excited for you. They just might not be geeking out on, you know, exactly what it is that you're geeking out about.
Yeah, it's really funny because there are definitely times where I've found myself going like probably further in detail about whatever's going on and you start seeing the eyes glaze over and they're like, I don't know what he's talking about. But the thing is, and this is the follow-up question that I have for you here, talking about passion, right? And like, so as entrepreneurs, we're very passionate about what we do in entrepreneurship. And I can only speak for myself here, but I believe that other people can probably relate to what I'm about to say here. And this kind of leads into marriage as well, is that when you're like, for me, like I'm so passionate about my business that it almost pulls me away from other things where I should be passionate about, you know, even within my own marriage. Mm-hmm. And the question I have to ask in respect to this is finding the things that you like, because like, again, as entrepreneurs, we get really passionate. It can kind of pull us away. So how can we find those mutual grounds between you and your spouse to find those commonalities of things that we can both really geek out on and have those moments? And like, where's that balance at? Because I find that happen even in my own marriage. And sometimes it's like, I'm trying to get intentional and more intentional about this and finding those common things. But like, do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, 100% I do, for sure. So the first thing I ask my couples to do is to create a shared vision, right? Gotcha. So you definitely don't have to have the same goals and the same aspirations in the same way, for sure. But if you have a shared vision, then you can always go back to that shared vision and start to assess whether what you're doing every day, every week, every month, every quarter is leading you to your shared vision. So that means start a conversation like, where do we want to be? What does success look like to both of us? How does that relate to our family? How does that relate to my business? How does that relate to our lifestyle and where we ultimately want to end up together, right? Yeah. And then create that shared vision. What is it going to look like when you're standing at that top of that mountain together and recognize that there's going to be rough patches. It's going to hail. You're going to lose the trail sometimes. Like all of these things are going to happen as you're climbing this mountain together, but you've got to have this vision of what it's going to look like when you get to the top. Now you, if you have that vision together, now you can always be recognizing if there's a fork in the road, or if you lose the trail somehow, or you're going through a really slick part of your journey, you always want to remember what's at the top, right? Because if you know what's at the top, then you'll be able to make the important decisions necessary to get there. So people say start with the end in mind. There's all kinds of like little taglines for this, but just remember, have that conversation with your spouse. What do we want this to look like when all is said and done and we're old and gray and we're standing at the top looking out over all we've accomplished and overcome together? What does that look like?
It almost seems like with when you are an entrepreneur, and especially when you're married, you've got to almost segment your visions, right? Like you've got a vision for your business. You also need to have a vision for your marriage and for your family and with your spouse. And that's that shared vision that you're speaking about, right? It's got to be its own thing. It's its own container, right? With where you're actually going together.
Yeah. But one of the biggest blessings of being an entrepreneur is that you get to, your business supports your lifestyle. Designing a business that supports your marriage and a marriage that supports your business is an art form. And this is what I teach my clients. This is what I work with them on. In your business, if you just create a job for yourself, then you haven't really stepped into entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is the ability to create the lifestyle that you desire. So you get to choose your own. And that's a tricky balance as well. You get to choose your own hours. You get to choose your priorities. You get to choose when enough is enough, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you have that shared vision together, then you design your business in a way that supports that vision. And that vision informs the choices that you make in your business.
Got it. So they really are connected. It's not this mutual, it's not some mutually exclusive thing here where here's my business vision over here, here's my marriage vision over here. They don't ever talk to each other. They're actually connected. They're overlapping and it's an integrated vision. But you have to, I guess the way I see it is almost like you got to be intentional about how this is working for my family. And it can, like, I've been in this trap before. I call it the entrepreneur trap, when you actually create a business that feels like a prison sentence and you feel trapped in it. And it's a very dark place to be. It's unfortunate if that ever happens to you, but you're right. Like you really need to think about the business you're building and the commitments you're signing up for, and how this is going to work for your family. It's like the business shouldn't be the nucleus. It should be the electron. The nucleus should be your family, your lifestyle. And the business is that little electron just flying around at just keeping it intact and maintaining the integrity of the atom. And like, that's, I always like to paint visuals in my heads of things with like other things.
Yeah, I love that.
So I think of the atom. Yeah. So one of the big questions that I think a lot of people ask themselves as entrepreneurs who are married and they've got this big vision, they have this, you know, in their business, right? Let's just talk about the vision that they have for their business. They really want to take it to this new level and they're excited about it, but then the spouse isn't on board with it and they're having some issues getting support from their spouse. So like, what would you recommend to, you know, entrepreneur married couples who are trying to get more support from their spouse?
Yeah. So definitely start with prioritizing your partner, because prioritizing your marriage, your lifestyle, your partner is going to be like number one key to making sure that you're creating, like you said, the nucleus that your business is in the right place, because goals are different than vision. So you've created your vision and that is the nucleus. Now your goals need to just move around that, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me give you some clear tips. If you are looking for more support from your spouse, there's a saying that one of my good friends and mentors says is you can only be as successful as your spouse will allow you to be. Mm. And the way that we can feed our relationship and prioritize our marriage in a way that allows us to really, you know, make our goals a reality in our business is number one, put them first. Now there's so many ways that we can do this. And of course, your business and serving your clients in the way that you do takes a lot of time and energy. When you're doing that, a lot of times it feels like your spouse is getting just the leftovers, right? And so it doesn't have to take a lot of time and energy to prioritize your spouse. One of the ways I do this is through my daily five. So as an entrepreneur, things get on my calendar, I have my to-do list, and I try to just have five big things in a day that will move my needle forward, right? But one of those things always has to do with my partner every single time. So that leaves some for my kids, some for my business, but always one for my spouse. I don't want them to get the leftovers. So when I'm planning my day, I make sure that I've either set some time in there to give him a call, send him a text, pick up his favorite treat at the grocery store. You know, if I have a lunch date, maybe grab something he'd like. Always considering my spouse as one of those big five. Have I prioritized my spouse today? So that's number one. Number two is making sure that I take the time to transition from business owner, parent to lover. So those transitions are going to be so, so, so important. And the way I like to describe this is by the TV show, Mr. Rogers. I don't know if I'm dating myself for sure. It was a very popular TV show when I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
The way that it starts is Mr. Rogers comes in from being outside. He comes onto the set and he takes off his blazer and he puts on this house sweater and he takes off his loafers and he puts on these slippers, right? And that's his physical transition from being out in the world to being home with his family. Now I realize our commute nowadays is like from our office to the living room or something like that, but it's still just as important to have some physical visualization of that transformation. Now I'm putting my business, you know, there's never clocking out when you're an entrepreneur, but I've done what I needed to do for my business today. And now I'm transitioning into father, you know, spouse or whatever. And then when those kids go to bed, make sure you're transitioning somehow into lover and partner and be there for your spouse. So those transitions are really, really important. Number three, take the time to be fun and flirty. I always say this, life is way too important to be taken so seriously. Now, like this is a story that I've told a few times, but my husband one day was in our bedroom and he was doing this big deal. It was like this $20,000 deal or whatever. And he was on Zoom and behind the computer, right? And he was like negotiating whatever, right? And I walked in the room. I could tell he was like really intense or whatever. And I just lifted up my shirt, right? Like I love to just be fun and flirty because like we can definitely start taking life too seriously. So I love to pinch his butt. I love to just like rub shoulders with him. I love to push him into the pantry and just start making out with him in front of my kids. I think that's so fun to gross my kids out. Like, just be fun and flirty and remember that like life is just way too important to take so seriously. So that's number three. Then let's see, number four, showing appreciation and affection. So this is so important. Like I like to tell people to think about reasons they're grateful for their partner, for their life together, for their situation. If you start your day off thinking about the things that you're grateful for, the amazing thing about your brain is that your brain will find evidence of whatever you give it to look for. That's literally its job. So if you're looking for reasons to be grateful for your life and your partner and your marriage and your kids, then those are the things that are going to stick out to you over the course of the day. So you're setting yourself up, you're framing yourself to look for those things that fill your heart with gratitude. So that's number four. Number five, learn how to speak your spouse's love language. I cannot emphasize this enough. There are so many ways to show love, but when you understand the way your partner really sees and appreciates love, you're like supercharging whatever that is. And so those love languages are quality time, words of affirmation, gifts, physical affection, and acts of service. So those are the five. And an easy way to just kind of experiment with this is just try each one of those, you know, spend a day doing words of affirmation, spend a day doing simple gifts, spend a day, you know, doing acts of service. And then at the end of the week, just ask your partner like, hey, like, what did I do this week to make you feel loved? And just like have a conversation about it. And you'll learn so much about each other. So five love language, super important. That's number five. Number six, try making date nights absolutely non-negotiable. So I always teach this. There's 168 hours in every single person's week. Like nobody gets more than 168 hours in a week. Three of those hours should be non-negotiable, having fun, connecting, showing love, channeling that giddy teenager, no responsibilities type energy with your spouse. So connect with them, show this is emotional. This is a physical intimacy. This is your time. At least three hours a week. You want to make sure that you make the arrangements. The kids are taken care of. You don't talk about business. You don't talk about things that are stressful. You just go and enjoy each other. It doesn't have to be expensive or elaborate. It just has to be something that binds you together. Like make sure you're making memories, make sure you're laughing, make sure you're touching each other, just fall in love all over again every single week. And then number seven, try believing a different story. So if you are struggling and you're feeling like your partner just doesn't support you, try believing a different story. What if your partner really was supporting you and you just don't recognize it? So try looking again for all of the ways in which your partner really does support you. And that's it. That's the magic. Those are my seven tips for getting more support from your spouse.
That is amazing. Gosh, thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, as I'm like listening to this, I'm thinking, as a listener, if you went through this, you need to go ahead and hit pause, go grab you a notebook, get you a pen, come back, rewind, go back to the start, and then play it over again and really take some notes there, because there's a lot of gold in those seven tips. And it's something as you're speaking about it, these are things that, you know, especially like the date night, that's something that I don't remember the last time I've been on an actual real date with my wife. Like, you know, it's been a while. And you're right. As you're saying this, I'm just getting excited thinking about like, hey, let's go. Like, I remember our first day was at a Mexican restaurant And we were just, I'll share. So she's, if my wife listens, she's going to kill me for saying this. But I'm going to say it anyway.
Is it worse than me lifting up my shirt? Cause I mean, come on.
I guess it's pretty, I'll go ahead and say it. My wife was very like open, like as far as just like anything, like she didn't have much of a filter, I guess, but like she was never like rude or anything, but she definitely would speak what would be on her mind. I remember in the Mexican restaurant, and we got some guacamole, and she was like, I could put guacamole on a piece of shit and eat it. Like, I love this so much. And it's like our first date. I'm like, I think I'm going to marry this woman. Like she, like, I love that she was just that, you know, forward and like just carefree. And like, you know, it's like, you really like guacamole. That's something of my favorite food too. But I just remember like that. I haven't had that in a long time. You know, I haven't had that like little like moment where it's just us and she makes some little comment like that. We'd both laugh and it's just, you know, it's just been a while. And I think for anybody listening, if that's you, you know, schedule that date night and like put it in a calendar, like
non-negotiable in pen every single week. Just do it.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. I'm going to definitely take that advice among the others. And I'm familiar with the five love languages too. And I think there's a book on the five love languages.
Yes. By Gary Chapman. I recommend that all couples have the five love languages, and you get varied, like people like really, really believe in the five love languages and people are like, eh, I don't know. But either way, however you take that, understanding those five ways to show love for another human being, your partner, your kids, your business partner, like people that you work with, like understanding that there are those five ways to express love is a game changer.
Yeah. And you, as like, I know for myself, there's just certain things that I'm trying to think, what's like, I'm not like, I think touch is one of them, right? Touch to me, like it doesn't have as much of an impact. Like I'm more like looking for, I think it was
quality time.
Yeah. Like quality time, respect, I think was one, maybe was that one?
Well, there's quality time. There's words of affirmation. There's gifts, acts of service.
Yes. Gifts is the one I don't care about. That's the one I knew was one. Right, gifts right, was right. The one that I was like, you know what? I don't care about gifts. I actually don't even get me anything for my birthday. But you know, there are things that certainly embrace that love far more depending on those five, and they definitely cover the spectrum there. So thank you so much for sharing that, Monica. I really appreciate just bringing this conversation to the podcast. It's something that is so important. And I think if your marriage isn't right, then your business is going to suffer with it, among other things in your life. So it's really important for people to understand, like if they are an entrepreneur and they're trying to run their business and they're trying to grow this big, massive vision and they're all excited about it, but meanwhile, the marriage is like a little bit on the rocks, you know, listen to this podcast and listen to what Monica has to say, because this is going to be a game changer. And it's not only going to, if you want to grow your business, this is a really good place to start, is to start with that relationship. So thank you so much for bringing this to the podcast. And just want to end, like if there's any final thoughts of just something that you would want to speak to that married entrepreneur, like something that is, that you believe is really important to understand in that relationship and what they could start doing today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I shared that list, and that list is not meant to be overwhelming. Like marriage and life and business, all of it, it's a marathon, and strength is built in with consistency, not in the big pushes. Right. And so if you can pick one thing on that list and just get really, really focused and good at it, and then pick another thing on that list. So making your spouse a priority, I absolutely guarantee will help you be more effective, more productive, show up better in every single area of your life when you truly make that a priority. Mm. And so again, not meant to be overwhelming, like you've got to pace yourself, but just work on those things, and I guarantee you're going to see an improvement over all the areas. A rising tide raises all ships. So just pick a few things and work on those things and really, really, you know, make the commitment to make your spouse a priority.
I love that. Beautiful way to start wrapping up this episode and to really put the final cherry on top here. How can people connect with you? Where can they find you?
You bet. So my website is www.onthebrightersideofmarriage.com. You can find links to everything I do there, including all my social media and my podcast, which is On the Brighter Side, Marriage for Entrepreneurs, where I love to talk to entrepreneurs who are juggling all the things and creating amazing results, not only in their business, but also in their family life.
Awesome. Well, we will make sure that is linked up in the show notes and definitely go connect with Monica. She's amazing and just so honored to have you on the show to bring all the value on marriage and bringing this topic. So thank you so much. It's truly blessed.
Yeah, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.